Iku Luna, please rise.
Ohea oko eko ka aha, inahe kuriana imua okea aha ho o kolo kolo ki iki hanahano o komoko aina o Hawaii. E nāi mai, e maliu mai, ilohi ia kalira. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having any business before this Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii, draw nigh. Give your attention and you shall be heard. E noho ilalo. Please be seated.
All right, please call the case.
Case number STWC 21-0000687. Ronaldo Rodriguez, Petitioner Plaintiff Appellee versus Mauna Kea Resort LLC, Hawaii Prince Hotel Waikiki LLC, and Prince Resorts Hawaii Inc. Respondents, Defendants, Appellants. Arguing for the petitioner, Brandy Faria. Arguing for the respondents, Richard Rand. Argument on the merits.
All right. Good morning. Aloha, everyone. Our proceeding today is being broadcast live on the Judiciary's YouTube channel as well as on Olelo. Counsel, are you both ready to proceed? All right, we've allocated 30 minutes for each side. Ms. Faria, you've asked for a warning with 10 minutes to go so you can reserve time for rebuttal, so you'll see a warning light 20 minutes into your argument. Mr. Rand, we will give you a warning with 5 minutes to go. Please proceed. Yep, please.
Your Honors, one of my clients, Mr. Ronaldo Rodriguez, is in the court today. He traveled over from the Big Island to participate. Because this is an important case, and it's been going on for a long time. The class members in this case involved two hotels on the Big Island and one hotel here. And this case impacts approximately 1,000 class members in the certified case. And these individuals have been waiting for their day, and are quite pleased to be before your honors, and thank you very much.
Can you just speak up just a bit?
Yes.
Oh,
sorry
can
about
you
that.
Actually just yeah. Move the microphone a little bit? Yeah, maybe down a little, yeah, directly yeah. To where you're speaking.
Yeah, thank you,
let's
Your
try
Honor.
That.
Okay, I apologize.
No?
The ICA ruled, and I will quote, "We thus conclude that the Circuit Court wrongly interpreted HRS 41B14 as requiring Mauna Kea to disclose the specific percentage or amount of the service charge distributed to employees." In defendant's opening brief, they provided a hypothetical arguing that at page 8, and they say, thus, if 99.9% of the service charge is paid to the employees and 0.1% is retained by the hotel or restaurant, the hotel or restaurant would need to disclose that it was retaining a portion of the service charge for purposes other than wages and tips of employees. I posit to your honors that the inverse of this hypothetical is the fear that I have for hotel workers. Because the disclosure here, by including these terms, I'm sorry, by including a portion, it creates an entire situation that there's nothing, there's no clarity at all. If this court agrees with the ICA, other hotels can simply come in and adopt the disclosure that the defendants are using here, and argue that by throwing a portion here and a portion there, that they are somehow tracking the statute and in compliance. Strategically adding these words does not operate to clarify anything, Your Honors, and instead it obfuscates and confuses the situation.
If you could clarify for me, it is my understanding that in this case, none of the collected amounts were allocated actually to tips and it went to wages, is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So in other words, the employees didn't get any tips whatsoever. In other words, they used it to whatever they needed to pay for wages.
Mr. Rand, yes, he characterizes that. We put it all in the wages bucket because the IRS makes us do it. That, yes, that's exactly the testimony that they've taken. That's the position they've taken, Your Honor. Which obviously when you say tips or wages, I posit that creates confusion in of itself, but that remains.
But our case law, we have case law from Villon thereafter saying that the usage of the term wages and tips was intended to focus on tips because wages, to the extent wages is used there, it pertains to the tip credit that is allowed as kind of like wages.
Right, and that was exactly the legislative history that created the confusion back in the day when there was a conflict, Your Honors, yes. So, and in Kawakami 2, the court addressed meeting the consumer's expectations. And there this court said, the statute aims to structure the relevant transaction such that a hotel or restaurant's pattern of distributing proceeds from service charge employees will accord with normal human consumer expectations. The statute accomplished that aim by setting up a baseline distribution pattern for service charges together with a means by which a hotel or restaurant can escape from being bound by that. But they have to clearly disclose that it does not follow the baseline. And Your Honor, I'm not suggesting that they have to state a particular percentage here or there, but they can, and that does follow. If we follow the case law, that does comply with, but you don't have to do that. I'm not suggesting that has to be done. Kawakami 2 says that a hotel that neither follows the baseline distribution pattern nor clearly discloses that it does not, that what that does is the purchaser there is not receiving the benefit of the negotiated bargain, and then the hotel is in breach.
Ms. Faria,
yes.
If I could just get some clarity, though, with regards to your statement that there isn't a requirement under the statute that the hotels or restaurants always need to provide specificity as to percentage. Those are in certain circumstances, though, right? I mean, I think that's part of the confusion here is that if it's all or nothing, then if all of it goes to tips, no problem, no disclosure. If all of it doesn't go to tips, no gratuity, in that situation, your position is, as I understand it, then no specificity is needed because you're just saying none of it is going to gratuity, right?
Yes, and Your Honor, that's exactly what Judge Chang said, and I'll switch forward. I'll jump forward to that because this is Judge Chang. He helped me a lot in terms of at the hearing provide clarity.
He grappled with that.
He did. He totally. And again, I would point out to Your Honors that this was this is two competing SJs. The judges allowed. I think he allowed a surreply and two additional things. These matters were fully briefed. So Judge Chang had all of the issues before himself.
Wait a minute. You say none of it is going to tips. You are specifying because you're saying 100% is going somewhere else. Isn't that specifying the amount?
Your Honor, I would say if you said that was true, but I don't know where there's no 100% anywhere.
That's right, but if you say only a portion, now you're in between that space, right? Either 100% goes to tips or 100% goes to service charge for other expenses, or you're in that middle ground. So how does someone figure out how to calculate what gratuity, if any, they want to give for the service they receive?
Yes.
If you're in that middle ground?
You can't. That's the problem, is you can't. And by them adding a portion here and a portion there, it creates, and they purport to do this, Your Honors, in terms of tracking the statute, but it doesn't track the statute.
Well, isn't that what Judge K pointed out in the Wadsworth case? When
yes.
He was going through the various provisions.
Right.
He said some work, some don't.
Yes.
The ones that didn't work, what did he point out in those?
The ones that, the ones that work are the clear ones. This is not this is not a gratuity. This is the property of the hotel. That's what works, Your Honors.
What he said, I thought, in reading the opinion, was that the ones that specify an amount, a percentage,
or
an exact amount, did work for him.
That's absolutely
what
he said.
Is that what the
yes. But he also says,
said?
But I think he also says other things could work as well. I think he just...
Well, he wasn't closing it out.
Correct.
He was giving examples of specificity. Right? Because I looked at some of those receipts and it says grab. Does that mean gratuity on the receipt?
I particularly say we all know that it doesn't cost them any extra money to put...
No, answer my question. On the receipts, it says grat, G-R-A-T. What does that mean on those receipts that were part of the summary judgment?
I do not know, Your Honor. I think they're trying to suggest...
Okay, I'll ask Mr. Rand.
Yes, yes. I believe it creates confusion, Your Honor. That's the exact point I make. I think that when you... And they also use the term service fee here, Your Honor, in their disclosure. And that's not actually a service charge, and that's different as well. So I agree with you. I believe all these mixed use of terminology creates a problem for the consumer when I'm trying to decide if I'm going to tip up or not.
Ms. Faria, you know, certainly the arguments you make are sound policy. If the objective is to be able to, for the consumer to be able to figure out how much they are tipping and how much more they might want to tip, but could you respond to Mr. Rand's argument that the statute itself doesn't require the level of specificity that you're arguing for. It's, you know, the argument might be it at least puts this notice is here, at least puts the consumer on notice that something is being taken away by the hotel, and I guess at that point they could inquire. And that is that the judgment the legislature made here, or did they intend something else?
No, I think it's, Your Honor, by them saying clear disclosure, it has to be able to let the consumer be an informed consumer. An informed consumer gets nothing from this disclosure when you say a portion here, a portion there, old McDonald's style. I mean, I don't mean to jest, but it takes, if you would have tracked the statute in its entirety as written, I think I would be in a much harder position today than I am. But by them injecting these words, it creates confusion. And I think Judge Chang said it very good when he was talking about the blending. He says, so his question that he asked, it says, does the disclosure actually track the statute, or does it actually add a different feature, which is a blending, a portion of this and a portion of that? And the defendant actually answered, by adding that language, they actually tried to track the statute better, because they were clearly telling the purchaser some of this is going to the employees. We're affirmatively telling you it is, and we're affirmatively telling you some of it's not. It's being used for costs, expenses other than wages and tips of employees. And then after this question, then Judge Chang just asked the penultimate question, and he says, so since there's a slightly but possible significant departure from the statute by injecting the word a portion, then if it would be incumbent upon the hotel or restaurant to tell the customer, what portion are we talking about? Is it one penny to the employee and the rest of the hotel, or is it 50-50? And the response was, I could only say that when they went to the granular one, and by granular, and his response was, I can only say when they went to the granular one, and for purposes of this court, I'll digress for a second. We originally filed our motions for summary judgment based on liability and damages, withdrew it at the 11th hour because defendant produced some additional late docs that indicated that the 2017 disclosure might not be consistent. But when they use granular disclosure, they use that to refer to their 2017 disclosure, which included a percentage breakdown between the employees and the hotel. So I just need to use that term because in response to that, defense said, I could only say that when they went to the granular one, that was certainly more explicit than the one they used before.
But the question is, how do you get around Mr. Rand's argument that they complied with what the statute basically said? You have to disclose that at least some of it is going to the employer, and that's the plain language of the statute. How do you get around that?
I get around that, Your Honor, by saying that this court, as a consequence from Kawakami, has said that it's anytime you deviate from what the normal consumer is anticipating or expecting, the disclosure has to be clear to the consumer. And there's that doesn't result in a clearly informed consumer, Your Honor. I mean, just I read that, and what it does is by the various words that they add, it just creates three different levels of confusion. And again, all they would have to use is one of the other terms that have been used in all these other cases. The service charge is not a gratuity, or it's the property of the hotel.
Are you suggesting that an entity like Mauna Kea needs to go digging through ledge history? I mean, it seems like what the Chief Justice is alluding to is, you know, you have this language, it's either full service charge to the service worker or disclose. And that's what they did. So how can you fault Mauna Kea for following the words of the legislature in that sense?
Well, they didn't follow the words of the legislature, Your Honor, because they added a portion. The words of a portion inject confusion into the situation. There's no clarity with that at all. I mean, I can't understand any situation of where an informed consumer can read that disclosure.
Well, doesn't a portion mean that some of it is not going to the service worker, and that therefore they've complied with the statute?
And I would agree that technically speaking, I perhaps, and then that's what Mr. Rand has argued throughout, but I would posit that in the realm of all of the case law that we've had in front of your honors, and again, fortunately, this is one of the few situations where I have significant case law to rely upon, and there's not just been a few cases. And if you track the history historically, all of these cases over and over again, when the call has been close, consumer protection and employee protection.
Well, I think what they're saying is, you know, 41B14 requires, if you're using portion, I mean, they're saying a portion, but what you really want is that precise portion.
Absolutely.
And it seems, if they use that language, not the Wadsworth situation.
Right.
But say they do, and they it almost seems like what you're saying is that the portion needs to be disclosed if it's not all going to the service worker.
Well, that would work, yes, but I don't necessarily think that that's the only way. I mean, I understand when I went back and I reread.
Well, what's the other ways? I'm not following. What would be the other ways?
Oh, it would be the clear way is to say that this is not their property. This is the hotel's property. Okay, this is not a gratuity.
Without specifying?
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Without specifying what that number is or percentage or amount?
Yes, yes.
So how does the consumer figure out how much more they want to add on over and above that?
Well, I agree. That doesn't provide any clarity.
Well, that's why I'm not following your argument, if you don't specify.
Well, and I agree. That's the clearest disclosure. Specifying is the clearest disclosure.
What's the other way?
The other way is telling them it doesn't belong to them.
Right. You know, Mr. Rand is arguing that when you say a portion, they're letting the consumer know a portion is going somewhere else. How is that misleading?
I would posit, Your Honor, because in the totality of things, this does not allow a person to make an informed decision about how they're going to move forward. It under no circumstances does adding those words create any clarity at all. Zero. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm beating a dead horse here, per se, but, again, this is a case that we had certified questions that now we have a fairly rich body of case law that's interpreted that. And this disclosure, as drafted, is completely the picture of ambiguity.
So your argument is that the statute's ambiguous and we should look to the legislative history?
I think that this court has said that in the past, Your Honor.
Is that what you're arguing for? Are you arguing the statute's clear on its face and we don't need to go to the legislative history? Or are you saying we should go to the legislative history, and if we do, it supports your position?
I have argued that in the past, and I do argue that today.
Sorry, it was a compound question.
It was.
Is it an ambiguous statute?
Yes. Yes, okay. I argue it is an ambiguous statute, and I think that's the reason why this court accepted the certified questions in the first place. And I assert that since then, things have become clearer in some ways, but again, there's all these variations.
What's the ambiguity, though?
Excuse me?
What's the ambiguity? What term is ambiguous here?
By adding the term apportion, the individual.
That's not in the statute. What's ambiguous in the statute language, the words?
Oh, clearly disclose.
I'm sorry?
Clearly disclose. That's been the subject of a lot of argument throughout these cases, Your Honor, is how you define clearly disclose. And as we set forth on our writ, clear is a very is a defined word, both in Webster's Dictionary and Black's Law Dictionary as well. It must be completely free of ambiguity when you're actually looking at the word.
But didn't they clearly disclose that it's not all going to the service worker? That
is defendant's argument, Your Honor. Yes, that's what they're arguing. They're saying by injecting the word apportion in there, they are supposedly.
So isn't that a clear disclosure that it's not all going to the service worker?
I don't believe that is with the spirit of the law. This court has interpreted this statute because I believe this court has interpreted this statute as being protective of both consumer protection rights as well as the employee's rights. And because these situations have dealt with hotels stealing, in some instances, up to half of the service charge from the workers. So that's my – and if I don't
I
know
ask,
how
isn't another reading – Your reading clearly disclosed is going to the content of the disclosure. Couldn't it also just reflect the prominence and clarity, physical clarity, and that it's not like somewhere at a little footnote in the bottom of the receipt or the contract, but it has to be kind of front and center?
But I think your question highlights that point exactly, Your Honor. Yes, it could be either situation. Yeah, I think that's the problem. Is that, and again, I apologize that we have to come up and take this court's time up again, but unfortunately, the statute, it's contested as to what clearly disclosed means.
That seems to be more fact-dependent, though, as opposed to the words being ambiguous. Would you agree with that, or you disagree with
that? I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Your Honor?
Yeah, it seems like it's more fact-specific as to whether something was clearly disclosed. It's not the words clearly disclosed themselves that have any ambiguity there. Is that what you're saying, or am I missing it?
I can see that interpretation. I'm not necessarily saying that. I think that what the statute requires is that whatever that disclosure includes, that the message is clear to the receiver of it. And again, going back to the definition of clear, that means there's no ambiguity. And, you know, as drafted, I think there is some ambiguity because that's why we're here again. I would just want to point out that the disclosures they talk about in Wadsworth are completely different, as I pointed out, because I think there that the first two disclosures, without even making the third part, were clear. They said it's not a gratuity. Yeah, that's clear. It belongs to the hotel. That's very clear. And then it says it's going to pay for costs or expenses other than the wages and tips. Collectively, I think that's crystal clear, and that's the difference that you have between Wadsworth and here.
So in other words, that disclosure is telling any consumer nothing is going to the employee. I mean, it had probably more language than it needed, but that's the essence.
Yes.
There was nothing in that particular disclosure under the banquet contract that suggested part of it may be going to the employees.
Yes, that was the court said. It's clear in that case. And again, I'm not saying that that's a fair disclosure, but that's something that's real. There's one point that I want to point out before I run out of time. And so Appendix B to the application for writ sets forth for this court all the various cases that have been litigated before, both from the employee's perspective and customer's perspective. And I'm just letting this court know that I've just recently been contacted. And one of these prior defendants, actually two hotels and these prior defendants that previously been sued and had to be paid, are now reoffending for the exact same basis. And this is a serious cause for concern for me, because I'm sitting here today and I'm very worried that, because classically speaking, these types of actions take place on a wholesale basis, I'm worried that all of these hotels are going to revert to this. And when we file these cases, I ask for preliminary injunctive relief to prevent these hotels from repeating these bad acts. And it was denied in those cases. And I think it was denied because in those situations, adjunctive relief is considered pretty.
Well, you're not suggesting we should all consider what you just said, right? I mean, you're bringing in an extra case. This is not something we should be considering.
So I'm not saying this for any purposes here, Your Honor, but I'm saying it for purposes of the fact that if the current existing opinion of the Intermediate Court of Appeals stands, then that's going to create further confusion if, in fact, additional cases.
Are you suggesting people didn't sort of stop and realize we took cert on this case?
Oh, no. Actually, in this particular case, it looks like it was a software change that resulted in the problem. And so when they changed the software system.
But none of this is in the record, right?
No. I'm talking about public policy, though. This is the point. The only reason I incorporate that is from a public policy perspective. And what I'm saying is I'm sitting here, and in the past, this court has been very protective of both employees and customers' rights in its prior ruling. And if the current ICA opinion stands, which grants summary judgment in favor of the defendants with zero analysis, Your Honors, two paragraphs of analysis as to why summary judgment is warranted as to the defendants.
Counsel, if I may ask you, in 2017, it looks like there was some amendment to the forms that the hotels were using. In fact, they did start specifying percentages, didn't they?
That's correct.
So that change was incorporated from 2017?
That's correct, yes. Yes. So in 2017, they started the breakdown between the employees and themselves.
Ms. Faria, could I ask you, just going to the disclosure here, we allocate a portion of the service fee to our employees as tips or wages, and a portion of the service fee to pay for costs or expenses other than wages and tips. To what extent was it allocated to tips or wages? You can do it on a aggregate basis. I know I saw one point there was a suggestion we're talking about $9 million, but if you could explain, this goes back to Justice McKenna's question a while back. What in fact, from the plaintiff's point of view, what was being allocated to the employee by the hotel here?
I think, Your Honor, that if on page 4 of my writ, it says that 27.38% was being allocated, and then it says it was subject to a service charge ranging from 17% to 21%.
I'm sorry, so 27%?
Yes,
Your Honor. Of the service charge was going to the employees prior to 2017?
No. I apologize. No, just they were charging 20, the hotels were retaining 27% of the service charge. That's just a math problem based on how much they paid and how much they retained.
How much were the employees getting of that service charge? That's my question.
I believe that's 111,357 out of 460.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you're saying.
I'm sorry, 111,000 out of approximately $406,000, I believe, Your Honor, but I'm sure Mr. Rand will be able to answer that question more accurately.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand, follow up on what Justice McKenna was asking.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
So, understand what, in fact, was happening. Thank you very much.
I know I'm out of time, so thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Freer.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the... Oh, I'm going to have a mic problem, too. Good morning. It's my honor to be in front of you today. I'm representing Mauna Kea Resort, Hawaii Prince Hotel, and other hotels. Our position is that this court has not yet addressed this issue. You've had four decisions involving this statute. Davis, Gurabat, Kawakami 1, Kawakami, I guess 5, Kawakami 2, and Vilan, and I had the pleasure of being in Vilan, representing the employer in that case. But this issue has never come up. Gurabat and Kawakami were cases where they did not make a disclosure. And in fact, this court in Kawakami 2 noted to the ICA that its review of the disclosure was improper because that issue was not before it. So today we have the issue of whether a disclosure which tracks the statute is compliant. And we submit that the ICA was correct. Because the statute, which I'm trying to find a nice term to refer to this statute, it's not the best drafted statute, okay? It uses the word, for example, we're supposed to pay the service charges to our employees as tip income. And from where I sit, that's kind of an oxymoron because service charges are wages. They're wages under federal law for tax purposes. They're wages under federal law for wage and hour purposes. And I believe our Department of Taxation treats them as wages because one big difference is we charge GET on service charge. If you look at the receipts, Justice Devens, if you looked at them, you'll see that they're above the GET line. And when we pay them to our employees as an expense, they go as wages because we can't call them tips. We would be violating federal law if we called them tips. And I think the legislature knew that because they recognized that service charges are levied in lieu of tips. These are big events where there's no, quote, tipping opportunity. So the hotels and, for most cases, their unions have agreed to impose service charges. And I will represent to you, and I know it's not in the record, that the allocations are negotiated. These are not.
But from a consumer's perspective, would you not agree that the consumer, from the consumer expectation perspective, a regular person that books a catering event at a hotel, and I note that this the statute also applies to restaurants, is not thinking that when they pay a gratuity, that this the employer is going to use it to pay for the wages that they have to pay.
Well,
and because people are thinking, okay, these employers, I mean, if you know anything about the law, right? I mean, they're going to get their minimum wage, potentially with the tip credit, plus, the tip credit, as long as it's $7 over the minimum wage. But they're thinking that what they're giving is going to the servers directly. They're not thinking that the employer is using it to cover what they have to pay anyway under the law.
Actually, Justice McKenna, I'm glad you asked that question because the answer is they're not. And I think there's some confusion perhaps in the record or otherwise. So what happens, and I would call the court's attention to the declaration of Lynn Mirashigi, which was part of our motion, our memorandum in opposition, plaintiff's motion for summary judgment. I believe it's docket 62. This case started before Jeff's, so we don't have those numbers. And Lynn Mirashigi was the payroll manager. And what she said in her declaration is, it's paragraph 4. Service charges are not used to offset employees' hourly wages. Rather, each pay period, employees receive wages based on number of hours they work multiplied by the applicable hourly rate. Employees receive an additional amount from service charges based on factors such as the amount of service charges collected, the number of employees that worked at the events held at the property, and the amount of hours the employee worked during the respective pay period. So to the extent there's any suggestion that we use these, and there was a case that this court considered many years ago that I did called Heatherly, where that issue was present, where you could use, it was porterage to offset your minimum wage obligations. We don't do that here. So if you're a banquet wait help, and let's say you get $18 an hour, we pay you $18 an hour. When we receive service charges, that's over and above your $18 an hour. It's not baked into the $18 an hour. We don't offset it against the $18 an hour. That's an additional amount you receive because you work that event.
Mr. Rand, could you, let's put it in terms of the numbers applicable in this case. And my understanding is that Mr. Rodriguez claimed there was $9.3 million Mauna Kea had collected in service charges. While using this disclosure, it had allocated $7.9 million as wages. But explain to me how it was split up. I'm trying to understand exactly what went to whom.
So I'm looking, Chief Justice, at our opening brief to the ICA.
Okay.
Because that's the 2017 amended disclosure. And so that has the two buckets, as I call them. So as of 2017, our service charge was 22%. 18.7% of that went to the employees.
18.7 of the 22.
Right. 3.3 was retained by the hotel. So I believe because Mauna Kea and Hapuna are ILW hotels, the traditional ILW split was 93-7. So 93% to the employees, 7% to the hotel. And so I haven't done the math, and I'm not going to do it up here, but I believe that probably comes out to 93-7.
Of the 22%, 93%
right.
Went to the employees.
Correct? Right. 93% went to the employees, and 7% went to the hotel. And so prior to 2016, I believe, well, they had to use whatever allocation they had negotiated. So the older...
When it went to the employees, it went, but it's distributed as wages in addition to the...
It's on top of it. So if you're a banquet server and you get $18 an hour as your hourly wage, your actual wage rate could be much higher depending on the events you work at and how much service charge is generated. But we actually had that issue, I think, before Judge Chang at one point. There was a concern we were offsetting, and we said, no, we don't offset. This is over and the top. So they're getting rewarded for the services they provided, which is, I think, the concern the legislature had. You know, are you rewarding these employees for the services they provide? And the answer is yes.
So, Counselor, can I ask you about the receipts, kind of
yes.
Follow up on Justice McKenna's question? And the receipts that are attached to the summary judgment, they show GRAT. What does that stand for? What does that represent?
Well, I was thinking of the question when you asked Ms. Freya. Normally that represents gratuity.
Gratuity?
Gratuity.
In the receipt,
gratuity.
It shows GRAT. And then below that, there's another line item that spells out gratuity. I assume that's so the consumer or the guest can add on?
Yes.
Okay, if they don't know what percentage of the top grat went to who, how are they supposed to figure out what percentage they want or how much more they may want to give over and above?
Well, they're going to have to make a decision based on the information they have. And let me address...
And the information they have is a portion without any specificity as to amount, percentage... anything.
Correct. And the reason why we believe that is compliant, there's a couple of reasons.
No. How does the consumer make that decision on how much more I want to give over and above if they don't know what over and above means?
Because in theory, the consumer is deciding based on the service they receive to leave an additional amount.
But it's based on how much I may have already given. Isn't that how the consumer's expectation is?
You know,
doesn't that become misleading?
I would say no, and first, I don't know what the consumer thinks, and the problem is giving the consumer the allocation, which we did later on, it's an additional data point, but it doesn't solve the equation. And the reason is for that portion of Lynn Mirshighi's declaration I just read to you, and there's also a portion of Mr. Joe's deposition, I believe they attached their motion for summary judgment. So what happens is when you work as a banquet wait help or a bus person or whatever, your pay, you don't just get paid for that event. When you work, all the events in the pay period are totaled. All of the hours worked by the employees who are eligible for the service charge are totaled. Then an equation is done usually based on your position. So if I'm a banquet food runner, I might get less points.
Sorry, I pause for an interrupting, but that's not something the consumer knows. All the consumer sees is this receipt. It says grat. And then there's a gratuity line, and the consumer's trying to figure out, I received terrific service. I want to make sure that I give an adequate tip reflecting that. But how do they calculate that based on the receipts that are given by the hotel to that guest?
Okay. They're never going to be able to calculate how much that
Isn't that where the problem lies? Isn't that the problem?
No, I respectfully disagree that that's the problem. Is to solve that problem, we would have to require hotels to give the purchaser the calculation they do at the end of the pay period of how much that employee you want to reward got for all their events. And then they're going to have to figure out, okay, for my event, how much of this is there? Because it all gets folded together. And so we're never going to be able to tell the purchaser, if the purchaser were to go up to, let's say I was a banquet wait help and say, gee, you did a great job today. I'd like to reward you. How much are you going to make today in service charges? They should honestly say, I don't know, because it all gets pooled.
But why couldn't you just say we impose a 23% or 22% service charge, of which approximately 93% will go to your server?
We could say that, and we did say that later on. But I think the question, and we view this, and I think this court in Kawakami also viewed it as binary. It's a pass-fail test. It's not, you have to have a disclosure which we rate as a B or a B plus. It's pass-fail. Did you tell the consumer that not all of it is going to the employees? And we did that. I don't think there's any question we did that.
But the statute, I'm so sorry. The statute doesn't say a portion. It says to disclose that the service charge is being used to pay for costs or expenses other than
wages and tips. And we actually included that.
I know, but I think Ms. Faria's point, and she said it several times, is the difference in terms of the hotel's disclosure compared to the statute is the inclusion of the word apportion.
And the reason why, and if you compare it, for example, to some of the disclosures in Wadsworth, where they didn't say a portion. And the implication I think everybody has is they were keeping all of that service charge, which they weren't, because they also have an IOW contract. But by including a portion, we felt we're alerting the purchaser to, hey, there's two buckets. One bucket for the employees and one bucket for us. That's why we use the term a portion. We wanted to alert them that not all of it is going to the employees providing the service to them. And so that's why we included that word, a portion.
And what if the consumer asks, like, well, how much is actually going to the employee? The answer would be, I can't tell you because that's super complicated. And
we would tell them. And the other thing I think that's important here about the word clearly is we make this disclosure three times to a banquet customer. When they first sign up, they sign a banquet contract. So it's in there. And that could be a few months before the event. It could be a few years, depending on how big the event is. So they sign it then, and they get the disclosure then. Then when the event is finalized, about a month out, there's a document called the banquet event order. And these are in the motion for summary judgment. We call them BEOs. That's where you have the headcount, the menu, special request, all those things. It's in there too. So that's a month
before. But none of them specify what that portion is. It seems sort of meaningless to just say a portion. But I have no idea what that portion is, and I can't figure out how much more I'd really want to give the service provider. And isn't that the protection of the statute so that the consumer isn't misled? And aren't they misled if they don't know what that exact portion is or some ballpark?
Our position is they're not misled if you tell them that a portion is going, and if they want more information.
Judge Case said that wasn't acceptable.
No,
he said that it needed exact amounts, percentages. That's what I read in Wadsworth. And the ones that just gave generalities, he said those are wrong.
Actually, Wadsworth had a number. He went through a number of different events, and he found a number of disclosures to be compliant, including the one with the percentages. I think everyone agrees that is sufficient. But Judge Wadsworth,
Judge
was
Kagan.
Judge Kaye, that was my case. Judge Kaye found that the 2010 banquet disclosures, which said the service charge is not a gratuity and is the property of the hotel to cover discretionary costs of the event. A portion of the service charge is being used to pay for costs and expenses other than wages and tips of employees. He said that was okay.
Right, but that's what the preface that none of it is going to be considered gratuities, right? Because then it means 100% is going somewhere else.
Well, but
then the consumer knows exactly what they've paid for.
But then the second sentence negates that. That's why this disclosure is very interesting, because the first sentence says the service charge is not a gratuity and property of the hotel. Now, if they had stopped there, everyone would think that the hotel kept 100%. That would be a reasonable assumption. But there's a second sentence. A portion, same language we used, of the service charge is being used to pay for costs or expenses other than wages and tips of employees. And Judge,
I think we have a different interpretation.
It goes the binary choice that we're talking about. It's either all to the service worker or we disclose. But what has happened is by using portion, you've injected yourself into difficulties with the clear disclosure. I think that's sort of what Justice Ginoza was getting at. What you've just said is fine, but it's either I, yes, or no. And it seems that what's happened by injecting portion, that's the issue. That's where you've injected an area of uncertainty that it's not clearly disclosed. So haven't you modified the binary choice here by using that language? When you say yourself, you could have just stopped.
I think we modified it to be more accurate. Okay, we never kept 100%. As you can see, we kept, I think it was 7%. I didn't do the math. But we included a portion to let the purchaser know that, yes, we are keeping some of it.
But I think what they're saying is, geez, you made it a lot worse. I mean, you really didn't help the consumer by saying that, because you're talking about that could be anywhere from a penny to 99.9% of the service charge.
Right. We felt we were tracking the statute, because what the statute said is, and this court has said before, is you have a choice. You can pay it all to your employees, no disclosure. You can keep it all, right? Because 41B14 does not prohibit a hotel or a restaurant from keeping 100% of the service charge. That the original bill would have done that. When the bill finally came out, it removed that. And you have a third choice. You can keep some, you know, use it for purposes other than wages and tips, but you have to make a disclosure.
How is it clear? That's the issue.
Yeah. I think by telling someone, clearly we notify them. I don't think anyone would disagree. We put the purchaser on notice that not all of it was going to the employees.
You know, this, to me, this is analogous to going to a restaurant that says that for parties for six, you know, eight people or more, we automatically charge 15%. So you get the 15% on the bill, and then you decide how much more you want to tip based on the service that you received. How can a consumer do this under these circumstances with this disclosure?
Well, if they really want to get into the weeds and want to get granular, they're going to have to ask some questions. But ultimately, they're going to learn that the service charges for this event are being pooled with other events, and the employees working here today are sharing it with other employees, and they're getting pieces of those employees' events on other days. So they're going to have to make a decision saying, gee, did I really like my service? If so, I'm going to leave some money. But you know, there's nothing in the legislative history, there's nothing in the statute, there was no testimony to the legislature from either unions, employees, or purchasers saying, gee, I would have left more had I known the exact amounts. And I would submit to you that if you were to survey banquet employees now in hotels where there are disclosures and say, well, how are you doing now on tips? From what I've been told, again, this is outside the record, I'm full disclosure, no one tips. Very rarely will someone give some money to the banquet captain, but it is extremely rare that purchasers or anybody else at a big event leaves an additional tip. It just, it doesn't happen. And this statute,
there's a lot of hypothetical reasons you could hypothesize. One is that they looked at the receipt and saw that they're paying a 22% service charge. And some goes to the, we keep some, the employees get some, and probably for a lot of folks, right. It's just, I guess it sounds fair. I don't know. They're at the end of their long night and like running their credit card for their $10,000 reception or whatever. But, if you look at the purpose of the statute, which is to help enable the consumers to make an informed choice, and really what I'm kind of come back to the question I asked before. If somebody does actually say, well, how much are they getting so I can figure out what to put on my credit card? They're not going to get an answer. I mean, basically, unless somebody's, just kind of like out there making it up, they're not going to really get an answer. Is that true?
Well, yeah, they'll get an answer as to the allocation, because that we know. So they would be told 93% is going to those employees, 7% is retained by the hotel. But again, I can't assume that with that arm with that.
See, what I heard you say a few moments ago was, well, it's going to be super complicated because it's a pool with other employees.
That's what I'm saying. That's why giving them that allocation doesn't solve the problem if we think the consumer isn't informed enough, because we're never going to be able to solve that problem unless we require this incredibly onerous disclosure. Because, what is the consumer trying to find out? The big number, how much is going to all the employees, a macro number or a micro number? How much is going to Mr. Rand, who waited on my table today and did great service? And that number we're not going to be able to give them. We can give a macro number. Yes, it's 93.7. That's the split under our CBA of the service charges. Now, they could take that and do some math and say, okay, well, I'm going to leave some money. But we don't have any reason to believe that the legislature thought that there was a linear connection between a purchaser knowing how much is going here and how much is going there, and either their decision to leave an additional tip or the decision as to how much. That's not in the legislative history. And I think part of it is, as this court noted in Vallon, 41B started as a elimination of the tip credit. That was the original statute. No tip credit, can't deduct from service charges. It resembles what this court and others have called a gut and replace bill, because
I'm reading the act, which is Act 16, Section 1. The legislature finds that Hawaii hotel and restaurant employees may not be receiving tips or gratuities during the course of their employment from patrons because patrons believe their tips or gratuities are being included in the service charge and being passed on to the employees. So that's an explicit finding by the legislature that indeed the legislature thought or intended to have enough information for the employees to make an informed decision. That's what it seems like. It doesn't seem like the record is absolutely barren as to the notion that no one would pay more if they actually knew what the percentage was that was going to the employee. To the contrary, it seems like the legislature bought into the argument that Ms. Faria is raising.
Right, but the way they solved this, though, and I have the Senate Standing Committee Report 3077. I think there's only one House Committee Report, one Senate. They say, distribute monies paid by customers as service charges directly to its employees as tip income, or disclose to the consumer, which became the purchaser, that the service charge is being used to pay for the employer's costs or expenses other than wages and tips. So that's what they said in the Senate when they amended the bill, and that's what made it into the statute. So if we impose a requirement that you have to include the allocation or include something else, we are amending the statute. It's not in the statute, okay? And it's nowhere in the legislative history that the legislature was concerned with being that granular in terms of what do we disclose. So, And I think they knew that a disclosure, putting someone on notice that not all of it's going to the employees, was sufficient.
I'm sorry. I'm just really curious. You said 93% went for the servers, the non-managerial servers. Is that right?
Yes. About. Let me pull that out. Yes. So it was... Again, I didn't do the math, and anyone is welcome to check my math. So again, as of 2017, gross service charge 22%. 18.7%.
No, we're not talking about 2017, right? We're talking about 2010 to 2016. So what was it in 2010?
I believe it was the same, the allocation. So if we divide 18.7 by 22, you're going to get the same allocation. And again,
I'm sorry, 18.7%?
Divided by 22. That should give you, yes?
What is that?
It's a bit confusing, but I think what you're saying is there's a 22% charge, of which 18% goes to the employees, or you could say...
I think Justice McKenna, what I'm trying to say ineloquently is that the allocation never changed.
And where did the 7% go? I'm just curious. The other 7% that didn't go to the...
It's actually 3.3%. So 22%, they're using like, it's bad to translate. So you have 22%.
Service charge?
Right. So 18.7%, subtract that, you get 3.3 left.
Okay. Where did the 3.3% go?
It goes to like general and administrative costs. That's what most hotels use it. It's just booked into income.
General administrative costs.
It doesn't go to wages and tips. Okay, so I see I have my light. So unless the court has any other questions, I'm going to sit down.
You have 4 minutes to go if you want to keep.
No, I'm done. That. Thank you.
Anything to wrap up at this point, Mr. Rand, or is that?
No, I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just going to make 3 points. First of all, I appreciate the fact that 93% goes to the workers and 7% supposedly stays with the hotel. But the problem, Your Honors, is that there's nobody to police that. The hotel can choose to do and change that however they choose to, subsequent to their negotiations with their employees. And the inverse could be true, and nobody's to police that.
You said subject to negotiations. Does that mean that this is negotiated pursuant to a collective bargaining agreement?
I believe that some of these hotels do have CBAs which control that, Your Honors. That's why I say that point. But the point I make is that under this disclosure, as crafted, nobody knows. And when you asked, Your Honor, the fact that anyone would have to ask, you know, what percentage goes to the worker and what percentage goes to the hotel, demonstrates that the disclosure is not clear. And I would posit, Your Honors, that you can make an unclear disclosure once, two, three, 300 times, and it doesn't make a difference how many times you make it. It's not going to transcend the disclosure from being unclear to clear. And here, I believe, because we all know that it's very expensive to live in Hawaii. Hospitality workers oftentimes have to work two jobs in order to make a living. It's important that we protect their rights.
How can it actually be clear without a percentage disclosure?
I mean, if under their scenario where they are actually paying part of it out, I don't think they could under this situation without adding additional verbiage as they have at the other hotels and restaurants, Your Honor. Unless the court has any other questions, I'll sit down.
You know, I just want to say that, you know, Mr. Rand's position, I don't think there was any ill intent. It actually seemed that they were trying to make it clearer, being more transparent, when they stuck the word portion in there so that the consumer knew not all of it was going somewhere else. So anyway, just to make
I think I've been fighting these hotels too long, and I don't ever give them the benefit of the doubt. So I'm sorry, Your Honors. I don't presume that was innocent, but yeah, it's possible. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Very well. Thank you to both of our attorneys for your arguments today. The court will take this matter under advisement.
Ku iluna, please rise. Ua ho'oku ia mai ne kea aha ho'okolokolo ki ike hanahana okomoku aina o Hawaii. This Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii is now adjourned.